increasingly, and we're seeing this more and more in the industry, is pricing tools. Yep, to enable you as a property manager to be able to price your vacation rentals in a way where you can look to perhaps maximize occupancy or try and drive the highest yield you can for your property.
Welcome to The Turndown. This week, I sit down with Gavin Gray from Vrbo. Gavin heads up vacation rental connectivity, integration, partnerships, connecting to Vrbo, leveraging the platform, reaching new customers, and attracting travelers that are looking for exactly what Vrbo is offering. A holiday, a vacation, a family getaway. Come join me and find out what Vrbo is all about and where they're going, what's happening in this space, and what are some challenges and opportunities, and most importantly, best practices for property managers around the world to leverage a platform such as Vrbo. Gavin, welcome to The Turndown. It's a pleasure and an honor to have you join us. You're joining us, if I'm not mistaken, from London today. Is that correct?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sebastian. Yep, I'm in our Great Expedia London office, quite near King's Cross in the center of London. And chilly London, middle of winter.
The obvious question, is it raining?
No, it's actually dry today, but very gray, as you might imagine.
Okay, perfect. Well, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us today. I'd love to kick it off with our sort of almost trademark question, which is, what is keeping Gavin Gray up at night these days?
Oh, wow.
I'd love to take it wherever you want to go with it.
Well, the last couple of nights, it's been my wife's leg. She's had a broken leg, quite a badly broken leg, and she's just recovering. So plenty of movement around that at the moment. So that's what's keeping me up at night, I guess, from a personal point of view. From a work point of view, do you know, Sebastian, not too much keeps me up at night, but there's a lot of things that I kind of think about. And, you know, we're really kicking off the start of, you know, what we hope is an exciting 2024 year. So lots of work-related planning and getting that up to date, as well as kind of closing off the last bits of 2023. But I sleep pretty soundly, yeah.
Excellent. Gavin, and I've known you and associated you with, I guess, short-term rental, vacation rental, VRBO for quite some time. I'd be curious on how you ended up in this industry. Like, walk us through, you know, your career path, your career progression. How did you become the Gavin Gray, you know, at VRBO?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I'm from New Zealand originally, so things kind of started there when I was at university and decided to do some study in the tourism area when it was a relatively new field. And I think that was driven off the back of just a thirst for travel, right? It's always been kind of in my blood and I guess in my family's blood and something that I've loved to do. So to look to develop that as a bit of a career was something that I started with. And then, you know, more laterally, well, quite a while ago, when I actually came to the UK and have settled here, getting involved in various tourism related roles. So I've worked in kind of a little bit around the attraction area and perhaps some consulting in that area. And then here in the UK, I was involved at an early stage in a company called Avivo, which was and still is in the smaller to medium-sized, I guess, bed and breakfast hotel type market. Was involved in a whole range of activities there. It was fun startup type mode, as you would appreciate. So we rolled our sleeves up and got involved in a whole lot of different areas. But more lately, I was involved there, content. And then especially around distribution channels and managing the distribution channels for Avivo. Really that got me, I guess, in contact with HomeAway back in the day, but over 10 years ago. And so they were a channel that we were distributing to. So I was kind of in the early stages of building out both an Expedia channel before they actually purchased the HomeAway and Vrbo business. And then that kind of morphed me across with some of my contacts here into the HomeAway, the Vrbo, and then the Expedia group as we've kind of expanded. So I sat on one side of the distribution fence, and I'm now sitting on the other side and really trying to drive great supply.
Yeah. Walk us through a little bit around what your core responsibilities are in your role at VRBO and what you look after.
Yeah, sure. So,
Verbo.
Well done. I didn't like to correct you. So nicely.
So
at Verbo, effectively, if you go onto the Verbo sites and a couple of million listings or homes, as you might see them, they pretty much come onto the website in one of two ways. Either it's tending to be individual hosts or owners or perhaps smaller property managers, and they manage those listings, I guess, manually through an extranet, and they do that piece. And that's probably half our inventory. I'm involved in the other half, and what that is we work with a whole series of property management software companies and channel managers that bring to us lots of vacation rental industry at scale. So we've got kind of like a million listings that we are working with that come to us through integrations. So my role specifically is I work in a team of connectivity account management that I run. We have a bit over 100 partners that we work with globally, software companies, and they bring to us through an integration their contracted properties all in one go. So some of our partners, for example, might bring us as many as 70,000 properties or listings through their integration feed, and it's my role to work through the commercial and the operational parts of those relationships.
That sounds exciting, and I assume that especially in vacation rentals, you need scale, you need sort of operational efficiencies, because the unit of inventory can be quite, I guess, what dispersed, unlike a hotel that has potentially multiple units of each room category. Is that a fair statement?
I think it is a fair statement, and most of what I'm dealing with is what we might consider to be almost like single unit type properties, right? So, and Verbo very much specializes in properties that are great for families and larger groups. So, you know, almost like your standalone vacation rental, or here in the UK, holiday cottage, whatever we might want to call it, that as you mentioned, it tends to be quite individual. Yeah, it's not on a cookie cutter like hotel rooms, where you have two or three different types of hotel rooms and you've got 300 of each within a large hotel. Each one is quite bespoke. So that brings with it its challenges in terms of working in that sector and managing an integration around it. But at the same time, that's part of the exciting, unique experience, I think, that vacation rentals, bring to us and to the customers, obviously.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about vacation rental and hotels, right? Because when I talk to hotels about vacation rentals, they're like, yeah, that's vacation rental. When I talk to vacation rentals and about hotels, they're like, yeah, that's hotels. So it almost seems like there is somewhat of a wall in between those two lodging businesses that said, we are similar, but we're not similar. We're somewhat different. Where do you see, sort of, in your opinion, the core differences between hotels and vacation rentals and how they're managed and how they're distributed?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, half our inventory probably comes from, at Verbo, probably comes from individual owners that have got like one or two or three properties, right? So they're relatively, smaller operators in that regard. And whilst we are dealing with, you know, certainly at times with larger property managers that give us hundreds and thousands of properties, there still is tend to be that uniqueness amongst them. The one thing that I do find, and it's almost a blurring in some areas between hotels and vacation rentals, and maybe how I might best describe that is almost in terms of the experiences that some of them are starting to offer, right? So if we think about, you know, most people previously have stayed in hotels and are increasingly dipping their toe in the water around, you know, staying in vacation rentals, for example. And I think the pandemic probably heightened that with more and more people staying in vacation rentals. And I think what we have done on the short-term rental or the vacation rental side of the industry is we've taken some of the great things that hotels do in terms of, you know, often offering really great services, and really high quality facilities and amenities. And we're starting to see some of that morph, I think, into you know, some of our better vacation rental companies and what they're offering as experiences to their guests.
So double-clicking on that, I'm curious on if you can give a couple of examples of what you've seen happening in the industry. So what are some of the things that you previously found in hotels that are now, I guess, discoverable in vacation rentals, in your opinion?
I think one of the, it's even as simple as like the linen that, that we are often finding in vacation rentals, you know. Probably some of your first vacation rental experiences staying, you probably even had to take sometimes your own towels and sheets, right? I mean, that's, we're a long way away from that now, right? And, you know, when you used to go to a hotel and get really crisp, you know, clean sheets and that kind of experience, I think we are seeing more of that type of experience, you know, across into the vacation rental side of it. So something as simple as that. I think we're also seeing, even with some of our vacation rentals, concierge type services that are being offered by, you know, some of the niche companies in that regard, where you can add on to your stay and get different sorts of experiences around that. The amenities that are being offered, one of our best used facilities or most wanted facilities from a feature point of view on our filters on some of our websites, you know, are things like, you know, great coffee machines or something like that traditionally you've had in good hotel rooms and they're starting to transition across. And I guess we've also seen some operators perhaps that have traditionally been involved in either vacation rentals moving into a bit of the hotel space or especially the hotel space moving into vacation rentals, you know, and I could think of, Villas by Marriott or something like that, you know, where hotel groups are taking more of an interest in something that's a little bit of a longer stay, and perhaps moving away from a hotel room type only experience.
Yeah, and let's dive into this a little bit. We've seen a lot of changes happening to the vacation rental or traditional vacation rental industry since the pandemic. Maybe has some of this has been accelerated by the pandemic, if you will, as well. But I'd love to pick your brain around that. So one area that we're seeing is that there's certainly some consolidation amongst the industry, meaning and with that, maybe the industry as a whole is becoming more professional. There's more services. There's more guest services that are being offered. I think there's probably a bigger investment in technology. I think addressing some of the pain points around how do I check in? How do I arrive? How do I, you know, where do I go if I have a question and et cetera. Walk me through maybe one or two trends that you were seeing that coming out of the pandemic specific to short-term rentals that you've observed.
Yeah, sure. I think a couple of those you're almost alluding to there, keyless entry systems, clearly Wi-Fi and, you know, Wi-Fi at such a level that you could actually work in the vacation rental, you know, and feel like you can be on a, bit of a,
Zoom call.
Zoom call. And, you know, I think bleisure or something was one of the terms, you know, business leisure, yeah. You know, something like that, yeah. That's happening through the pandemic. So we're certainly seeing things like that. I touched on before about concierge services. You know, there are companies that are doing that really well and offering that service across a wide range or a number of property managers so that could be taken up. We also see, you know, really good digital guidebooks and services like that are providing lots of information to the guest when they're actually at the vacation rental about, you know, the types of things that they could be doing there. So, you know, services like that are something that we are especially seeing. And then there's other technologies, perhaps more, less so on the guest side, but more perhaps for the owner side or the host. So, again, keyless entry systems is an example there, but, almost like noise monitoring systems, right? So that, to avoid a party house type scenario so that, keeping neighbors happy around, your vacation rental and from a safety point of view as well.
Yeah. Look, we may have people in the audience that are thinking of getting started in this industry, right? Like that are thinking of potentially becoming a property manager, et cetera. I'm curious, you know, through your experience at HomeAway, Vrbo, et cetera, but also, you know, your vast industry experience, what are some of the best practices or some of the recommendations you would have to a property manager just getting started in this industry, right? Maybe they're at the brink of 5 to 10 units or properties, but they want to, you know, elevate their businesses to the next level.
Yeah, sure. And I think that there is a little bit of, you know, we do see some sort of evolution often along the way. Then, you know, someone's managing one property and then two properties, and then, you know, Susie down the road sees what a good job you're doing by filling the property, and your friend Fred around the corner also seeing it, and then, oh, can you help manage my property, etc. So, you know, we do see that kind of an example of that kind of growing into to smaller level property managers, you know, and then some growth in that. I think that there's a lot of resources that are out there increasingly, and about being sophisticated and being able to manage your properties well. You know, clearly for individual owners that want to get into managing multiple properties, you know, there's some great case studies that are out there for companies that are doing that really well. Focusing on quality, I think, is always a great place to start. Being able to give a consistent experience to your guests over time is paramount, because it's that either word of mouth or then perhaps the reviews that you're getting when you start to distribute your properties, you know, out past trying to sell it yourself, know, are vital to your ongoing success. And then, you know, a lot of the property managers that we are working with, or even the software companies that we're working with, you know, have a whole range of services perhaps within their suite of, within their suite of functionality that they're using. So, you know, whether that's accounting systems or, you know, smart systems to be managing cleaning rosters and, you know, changeovers. Increasingly, and we're seeing this more and more in the industry, is pricing tools, to enable you as a property manager to be able to price your vacation rentals in a way where you can look to perhaps maximize occupancy or try and drive the highest yield you can for your properties, you know, and to give you a flavor as to this is how perhaps I could be, you know, pricing my properties on my own website as well as across online travel agencies, you know, like Vrbo or Expedia.
Oh, fascinating, especially the pricing component. We see that happening quite a lot at Clubbits as well. But it seems that the ability to track demand, the ability to track what competitors are doing and pricing smartly your own products and services in line with, you know, demand pattern changes is becoming a critical component.
Well, I was just going to say, I think it is to remain competitive, yeah, because this is a competitive industry with, you know, increasing numbers of supply, you know, coming into the marketplace, especially now we are kind of, you know, out past the pandemic as such, when we maybe some of the inventory, you know, contracted a little bit. So there's lots of competition out there, yeah. I think each year we see the bar get raised in terms of the quality of experiences that the individual hosts or homeowners or the property managers offer. So for those coming into the industry, or for those, you know, trying to grow within the industry, then keeping with that raising bar is pretty important. Pricing is very much a key component of it. We are certainly seeing, I guess a good example here, Sebastian, maybe from the pandemic was, you know, during the pandemic, some of the things that were really vital to travelers, right? Cleanliness, and the safety around cleanliness, you know, having your own, you know, own vacation rental rather than perhaps shared spaces or something like that, you know, and things like price became less important. Cancellation policies and the flexibility around cancellation policies were really vital at that stage. Whilst some of that is continuing, we are increasingly seeing perhaps a movement back towards competitive pricing, you know, being a really, if not, you know, probably the number one component in terms now of which, you know, which property or which vacation rental I might choose. So you know, we've seen that dynamic shift back towards value for money. And when we see, I guess, the macro environments that most of us are facing, where, you know, times are quite tough from a financial point of view for a lot of people, you know, it makes sense to have a great pricing tool that at least enables you to be competitive with your type of inventory in the locations that you're in and with the facilities and amenities and experiences that you're offering.
Is this another way of you saying prices will become under pressure depending on demand pattern? Meaning, you know, that we're no longer able to maybe keep rates at the pandemic levels.
I think we've already seen that's gone, Sebastian, right? I think we're already seeing a movement away from that, you know. The best properties will always command a great price, right? And especially in destinations, you know, where there are, you know, where there's relatively either lower supply or as you say, you know, a heightening of demand. But I think consumers are increasingly price conscious, you know, and again, just with cost of living increases that most people are facing, and you know, and certainly, you know, most of the developed world, I guess you'd say, in that regard, then being, you know, being mindful around pricing is really key. And you know, perhaps there was a little bit of a boom through the pandemic that we've come back out from the other side of, and you know, so average daily rates or something like that will you know, I think have softened and leveled out a little bit more.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about travel trends, right? Looking ahead,
yep.
Thinking about, you know, maybe the destinations, but also the type of properties that are becoming hot. When we sort of rewind the clock in 23, maybe 22 to a certain extent, a lot of people were talking about leisure or, you know, working while traveling, if you will. I'm curious, maybe let's start with the destinations or location. You're based out of London. I'm curious, in your perspective, what are sort of some of the hot destinations that you're tracking in 24?
Well, we're obviously a global company, right? So, and I guess our hotspots at Vrbo continue to be, you know, we've traditionally been strong in, you know, mountains and lakes and seaside type destinations, you know, and with larger houses or larger properties in those destinations. So I think we will continue to see that those will always, you know, be popular for family type vacations and especially for our larger groups. I think we are seeing a little bit of a swing back towards, you know, some urban or, you know, or semi-urban secondary type city type destinations as well, you know, and I think that's not just with vacation rentals, but, you know, we are also, you know, Expedia Groups is pretty significant in the hotel space, obviously. We are seeing, you know, the hotel side of our business kind of, you know, also growing as well. So I just think that there's a heightened confidence for people to want to travel and perhaps that pent-up demand that was talked about, I think, was a real thing. You know, clearly people have had the opportunity in the last year, 18 months or so to kind of be traveling, but I think you know, that thirst for travel will continue onwards, and we are certainly seeing that everywhere's hot destinations for us kind of at the moment, right? But perhaps what we are seeing is perhaps a bit more of a lean back towards international travel. I think probably most people think that business travel is coming back, but perhaps, you know, a little bit slower than some of the other travels. But certainly, you know, people willing to get a little bit further away from home, whereas perhaps during the pandemic they were maybe going to more drive to destinations, that I think we're seeing, you know, seeing more of a pattern towards, you know, those types of international trips as well.
So if I may paraphrase, to a certain extent, while pent up demand and sort of revenge travel may be things of the past, you still think that travelers prioritize experiences and travel as a whole above other expenses, and it will continue to see a significant, I guess, demand in the summer period or in the peak travel months.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and I think I think the only perhaps caveats to that are, you know, what we discussed a little bit earlier with the likes of macroeconomic, you know, environments and cost of living having impacts onto people. So, you know, so perhaps what we are seeing is, you know, sometimes, you know, we don't see so much trade-off as people not traveling at all, but maybe they might travel for, you know, perhaps a shorter length of stay, or perhaps, you know, instead of an, you know, an average daily rate of this amount that they were prepared to pay, then they still want to go away, but this year we're actually paying a little bit less on a per night basis, you know, to do our holidays, because we haven't got quite as much you know, budget available to do it. But I think yeah, we're still looking in a pretty rosy space.
Yeah, I mean, speaking from my own personal experience, I've got two boys and a wife and a dog. But, you know, when we travel, we look at destinations as well. And there's certain destinations that have, you know, continuously priced themselves out of our reach, where we're looking at maybe, you know, a cheaper country or location for a summer holiday, because it's just been too expensive for us to spend what maybe pre-pandemic would have been easily possible.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I think... but again, I think the point that we're both making here is you're still going to go away. Maybe you're just going to trade to something different. You know?
That's excellent. I'm curious. I want to talk a little bit about your own travel behavior, et cetera. When do you pick a hotel versus a vacation rental? Or do you have to, as a Vrbo employee, always stay at a vacation rental?
No, we're not quite so draconian here as that. And I guess in my last couple of experiences, they've typically been with other family members, you know, so they lend themselves well to vacation rentals, yeah. And, you know, where, you know, three or four different couples or something like that can sleep, and other kids as well, you know, can kind of all sleep under the same roof, which isn't so easy in a hotel, obviously. You know, I think it depends on the destination for me. You know, if I'm doing, you know, city breaks and something like that, then I will probably try and stay downtown, and probably more likely to be in a hotel room, something like that. If I am staying somewhere for a little bit longer where I want the ability to, you know, to have more space, you know, to perhaps have communal areas where it's easy for people to be, then I'll go and do that. So I trade them off both. You know, I have actually used vacation rentals on business trips that I've done. You know, especially if I'm staying a few nights, you know, and again, that's, I guess, determined on the destination that I've been to. But, you know, Austin is one of our headquarters in Austin in Texas in the US. And, you know, on a number of times I've either taken a unit downtown and, you know, and used that as my base for a week when I've been not working. And a couple of times, you know, with other colleagues, we've actually hired a larger house. It's been great value for money and enabled us to, you know, perhaps from a team building or a bonding type activity, that kind of works as well, and certainly good value for money. So I pick and choose on the situation.
That's exciting. I was going to ask you about your favorite barbecue place in Austin, Texas, but, ooh, you know, that may distract us.
I'm not an expert, but I think Terry Black's was the last place that I've been to. And okay. The slabs of meat that come out and get put on the table are always pretty exciting, and I'm always sending my nephew he's a big barbecue fan, a little snippets of what I've eaten and try and replicate it at home. But yeah, Austin is definitely much one of the homes of great barbecue in the US for sure.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, I want to go back to sort of a little bit of technology and innovation, and think about, especially from your perspective, on what are some of the things that you think property managers should invest more in, and maybe some of the things they're investing in that they should maybe do less of, if that exists.
Yeah, right? Sure. I think the pricing and the yield tools that we talk about previously are pretty essential to be competitive, but also to drive competitive advantage and success within the industry. So I think that there's more to come from that as a tool, whether it's an off-the-shelf tool that is integrated into what you're doing, or, you know, certainly some of the property management software companies are offering some of their own tools in that regard. You know, I think that that's a are vital, and I know I probably put that as number one at the moment. The other and messaging, you know, and guest messaging, you know, and the ability to communicate, you know, as a host with both guests as well as, you know, online travel agents like ours is also a pretty powerful functionality. In terms of maybe something that they've over-indexed on, I probably find that a little bit harder to harder off the top of my head to come up with a good example, Sebastian. Yeah,
and it may very be specific to the property or the location or the property type, etc. I mean, and to the guest preferences. I don't care for the chocolate on a hotel room bed. I think that's, you know, it's just weird.
I mean,
but that's a personal preference.
I think in terms of some of those experiences, I think some of the more outdated ones are probably there for a reason, right? But I think I think what great hotels offer, you know, has raised the bar for all of us when we go to a vacation rental, right? And what we used to be quite happy with or put up with, you know, is certainly something that's quite passé and a thing of the past, you know. And, you know, Wi-Fi is a great example, right? Wi-Fi used to be a, you know, almost like a differentiator, right? Going back a few years, a differentiator, you know, and that was one of the filters that you would click on, right? Whereas now it's just like a vital. It's like, you know, unless you were really wanting to get away from it, you're not going to stay anywhere that doesn't have some sort of decent connectivity like Wi-Fi. One thing that we are starting to see is perhaps electronic charger points for cars. You know, I see that as probably one of the newer amenities that we are seeing added to some of our filter lists and because parking is a big thing for a lot of vacation rental travelers, and also to have charging facilities, I think is something that's being increasingly demanded.
That's a great way of wrapping up the session. I mean, we have to work as an industry on sustainable travel. I think it's something that is critical, and seeing you embrace and making it available as a filter is helping with that, because, you know, if you are giving a choice between a petrol car and an electric car and the distances and, you know, the infrastructure is available, then why not choose that electrical car? In some cases, it's even cheaper than the petrol car.
For sure.
Gavin, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure having you on the program, having you share our insights and the insights that you've gathered throughout your career. Look forward to seeing you in person at one of the upcoming events.
There's going to be one where we're going to bump into each other. It's always a pleasure to talk, Sebastian.
Gavin, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to The Turndown. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in next week as we discover new exciting guests.